Episode 278, January 2nd, 2017.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to the Rob and Joe Show. Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, Marcus Serta. No Robbie here today. He told us, Joe, but I have no idea why he's not here.
Now, I do know that Marcus said at the start of the show, is everybody mad at me? Now, of course, I don't get mad at anyone when anyone doesn't show up. I couldn't care less. But I guess Marcus was afraid because he didn't give Robbie enough notice. And Robbie didn't say anything, Marcus, so I think you're off the hook. But I think that's because, in general, you're conscientious. Robbie, he lets things build. So he'll tuck this one away. But, you know, about the second, third, fourth time you do it, that's when he snaps.
See, the problem is there's been a strange car out front of my house that I have not been able to identify, and I figured it might be Robbie.
Did you tell Robbie you were going to be home at 7 o'clock, so he showed up at 6:15?
Well, he did send me a note and kind of alluded to knowing that I was home, so I don't know.
That reminds me, just this conversation we just had. I just had my very last post game, and Rob Mayer, who I need for the post game, I need him, right? But he doesn't get paid, so he only does it for exposure and as a favor. And I think, what do you do, maybe four shows this year? I think that's about correct.
You mean actually with you?
Yeah.
I started off pretty strong, maybe four, maybe five, but something like that. Yeah.
This past week though, you had no work. You just didn't want to come.
Well, usually, yeah, I have a job.
The Redskins game. You just decided you didn't want to do it.
Well, the Redskins are in basically the playoff game. And so I know that it's in the studio and it's, I don't know. Last time we were there, we couldn't watch it, but now it was on national TV, so I'm sure you could have. But
yeah, it was on. We watched the whole game. I was a little bummed out. I love Tommy. Tommy's hilarious, but he doesn't know anything about football. And we had to do about two breaks extra than we would normally do, where we're just, because, you know, we're not looking ahead to next week. You know,
No, Joe, this is an easy one to do because you can recap the entire season. You can look ahead to next year. You can talk
draft. We did that, and that's what we did. But, of course, you know, I'm throwing it to Tommy, and Tommy is literally reading from it, and he Googles what are the Ravens' needs in 2017, and he just starts reading, you know. And the thing about you is, you know, like the white guy who just was the running back for the Bengals, I'd never heard of the guy. Apparently he's been starting for them for 4 weeks. I'd never heard of him. And, of course, when I have you, then the things that I don't know, you're going to know, and that helps me out. Now, when he was talking about the needs of the Ravens, he was reading off of a website. And one of the players he said was Kenny Stills. Now, I think that's Kenny Stills now plays for the Dolphins. Is that correct?
They used to play for the Saints. That sounds
right. Well, that's what I said. I go, oh, yeah, the Saints. And he goes, well, it says here the Dolphins. Of course, he doesn't know. He doesn't know Saints or Dolphins. I'm surprised I guarantee you didn't know who Kenny Stills was. So I'm supposed to be the expert, and I don't even know what team this guy plays for. And it just makes us look acid. It makes us look like we don't know shit. So when I have you, And thing I realized when I've had other people to fill in, I had Eric Woodworth, I had Sonny Fuller. They don't know anything about football either. So, you know, the only person that I know who's funny and also knows football is you. And when you rather watch the Redskins game, that highly affects my product. And I'm going to tell you, my show yesterday was awful. The post-game show is the worst one of the year, although we did get lots of calls.
Well, were people just, were they angry or were they just resigned that the season was over? Because last week was the crushing blow.
Yeah, right. But no, people were mad, but I mean, people will call up and they'll be like, yeah, you know, Dean Pease is a friend of mine, but I think he did a horrible job. Seriously? Is that true? Somebody called and said that, among a million other things. But you realize
Dean Pease is the defensive coordinator of the Ravens.
Correct. If you are doing a bad job at your place of employment, Rob, I'm not going to be like, I know Rob, but he's horrible at his job. You know, I'm not going to do that in a public forum. So I doubt this guy was really good friends with Dean Pease.
You feel like I let you down somehow.
Oh, no, you definitely let me down. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't justified, but yeah, you did. You definitely let me down. I needed you last night. You weren't there.
Okay.
And by the way, if you'd known what you know now, you would have showed up, right? Knowing the Redskins were going to rip your heart out.
Yeah, it was a rough football weekend, being an Ohio State fan and a Redskins fan. You know, I had about 10 quarters there, the 6 quarters of no points scored for my teams. It was kind of a rough New Year's Day. Going back to Robbie real quick, Robbie would be mad at you right now, Joe. You know that.
Why?
Well, we invested in some new equipment for the show. We're trying to use some of these donations. Thank you to those who have given. We appreciate it, plus the Patreon people. We'll get to that in a second. But you waited till the last minute to try to install it. And
yeah,
you ran into a couple hiccups.
Yeah, it's plugged in right now. Everything's plugged in. I'm talking into my old mic, looking at the new mic, looking at this Focusrite. What is this thing, Marcus, this box?
It's a digital analog input-output for your computer and microphone.
Too much what it is. I want people to think it's more expensive than it was so we can get more credit for investing.
Gotcha, okay.
So you wait till the last minute, and Robbie would be, because that's something that Robbie gets on you about.
Yeah, no, he would be right. My kids are here, and this is the where I broadcast from is their room. So, you know, they were in here. I didn't want to spend a lot of time in here setting stuff up.
Fair enough. Okay. So, yeah, it was not a good New Year's Day. It was better than last year for me. If you remember, I was stranded in Turkey in an airport for 22 hours, ended up getting stuck in Turkey for 3 days. That was the worst day of the year for me last year. This wasn't nearly as bad, but it did have a shitty day with the Redskins losing. I had about a 95% chance to come in second in one fantasy league, and of course I didn't. I came in third, so that cost me a couple $100. But 2016 was actually a good year for me, so I think it is a good omen to have a bad January 1st.
Like rain on your wedding day?
That kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a fact, by the way? Can anybody quantify the raining on the wedding day?
Yeah. A fact, I'm sure that can't be. But yeah, no, I was saying to you and Tommy Simbazo, I said, hey, why don't you guys come over for New Year's? Because, you know, you were coming back from Albany. I didn't have a show. I'm like, let's just hang out. Everybody blew me off, Marcus. I know you would have been here, but everyone blew me off. Every last friend.
Well, if I had known, I would have been there.
Yeah. I think what it was, Joe, is if you'd gotten one of us to commit, then the other one would have committed. But once
I'm going to be honest with you, I was praying around 7 o'clock and go, God, I hope these guys aren't coming over.
Well, I mean, we were tired. We went to Albany. We were in the Funny Bone. Myself, Eric Wilbur, Sean Gabbert, and Tommy, we all drove up and back together. It was a lot of fun, but it was tiring. There wasn't a lot of sleep involved. We did some comedy up there, and then we did the murder mystery. And we did The Last Laugh. It's the first murder mystery we ever wrote. And it's not our best one, but it's easier to do with less people. There's less involved, less moving parts. And so it was our first time doing it without Justin. And I think it was a success. And I think I learned how to make it better, which was a success. But, you know, I hate the thing that you do is you cast the audience members. And you do a great job at it. And I hate doing it. you're much better at it than me for whatever reason. Or maybe I'm just doing it and I got so much on my mind I'm not giving it the time.
Well, no, yeah, that's really the thing. It's that, you know, to do, because what, and also, you know, Katie obviously helps with that, but, you know, right. going out ahead of time, you also have to go to every table and explain to them what these team sheets are.
Yes.
Then you have to go and you have to cast each audience member, you know, and some, like in Sing for Your Life, we have to get people to come up on stage and sing. In a Merry Murder Mystery, we have to get people to sit on Santa's lap. There's a lot of work to do ahead of time. Now, I don't have a huge role in the Merry Murder Mystery. I have no role in Sing for Your Life, so clearly that's an easier thing for me to do. But when I have a bigger role, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of stress involved in also doing that. I can't imagine, especially in the Newly Dead game, if you were to have to do all that and then play the part that you play. It has to suck.
Yeah, well, with The Last Laugh, there's even more audience roles. I mean, there's it's probably the most of any show, I think. And then in terms of actual speaking parts, so the show starts at 7:30. At 7:15, I still have three to give out. People didn't want to do it. So, you know, you start off with a type that you're looking for, and then you're just like, fuck, whoever's right. willing to do it.
First available, right.
Yeah, if the part calls for a male, any guy will do. So I cast this guy to be, his role is simple. We're at a roast of a famous comedian, and this guy went to high school and played football with this guy. It's a pretty straight read.
Johnny Moore, I believe, is the name of the character.
Johnny Moore. It's a simple role. There's a question and answer with a detective. You're just reading your lines. There's no acting. You're not asked to do anything dramatic. You're simply just reading. But there are actual important plot points that are in that. So I cast this guy. He seems gung-ho. Then he seems a little not understanding, which is sort of worrying me because it's not that complicated. So I went over with him again, and he spoke just fine. So we get to that part of the show, and Tommy, playing the detective, starts interviewing this guy, and he starts stuttering. Like, real bad.
So he really stuttered?
So first I'm like, wait a minute, he wasn't stuttering. I talked to this guy. His friends were there. They didn't say anything. They were cheering him on. They wouldn't have said to do this if they knew he stuttered. And then I'm like, he's just making it a joke. But Tommy
doesn't. He's just being a dick.
Yes, he's just being a dick. But Tommy doesn't. Tommy's thinking, was Rob being a dick and just setting me up, which would be funny. But the crowd doesn't know.
Right, and you can't make fun of him because the crowd doesn't want you to make fun of somebody's handicap.
Exactly, because he's actually doing a good job of acting like he's acting well, which would have been good if he was just reading his lines acting well, but whatever. So I just run on stage, and I say, and I break the fourth wall here. I say, yeah, when I cast that guy, he spoke just fine, so I'm not sure what he's been drinking, but don't have any of that. Now, it gets a huge laugh, and at the end of the day, it ended up being entertaining. But as I thought about it later, you know, he has some important plot points that I don't think anybody picked up on because he was stuttering. So he just decided he's going to fuck the show. No, I didn't talk to him at all. Because afterwards, once I thought about it, I was starting to get pissed off. And I was like, I don't want to talk to this guy anymore.
But well,
I was
just like,
who the fuck do you think you are?
Just like a heckler. How many times have you heard a heckler say, I'm trying to help the show?
Yeah, well, then just read your lines. Yeah.
That's the standard heckler line. No. I'm trying to help the show. They don't realize, look, we'll be the funny ones. You just read what we tell you to say. We'll say the funny stuff. Now, every once in a while, we'll have somebody at the, you know, do an audience role, and they'll be funny. But it's pretty rare. Wouldn't you agree? The audience roles are just people are reading, and then people are funny around them.
I think it's either a net funny. Either it's they add something to it makes it funny, or we say something about their performance that makes it funny. So usually it ends up more than Jim just doing a straight read. But he actually has things that are important in his. It's only two sentences, but there are some important things in there. And he decided rather than just read them, he wanted to stutter and just.
But in your defense, how are you going to guard against that?
You can't.
Remember when I picked the one guy at the improv and he couldn't read?
Yes.
Well, you know, again, if I say, hey, do you want to play a role? And they say yes. How the hell am I supposed to know they can't read? How am I supposed to know that?
Yeah.
And how do you guard against it? Excuse me, before I gave you this, can you read? Oh, you can't? Oh, well, then I don't pick you. You know what I mean? You have to assume that these people are going to say, well, I'm not comfortable doing that because I don't read well. Well, in your case, you didn't know. He's going to look, I'm going to try to ruin this show. Nobody's going to tell you that.
So fuck that guy. But other than that, it was a good time. You know, it's always fun hanging out with those guys. But one thing that I wish I did more, and maybe I'll do more before I post it, but Scott Reardon, the 98 Rock Morning Show, Justin Scott and Spiegel, started his radio career in Albany. He went to school in Albany. He was from the area. So I was going around videoing people, asking him their thoughts on Scott Reardon. And, of course, they would inevitably say they don't know who he is. So we're trying to put together a little video to make fun of Scott.
Nobody, not a single soul knew who he was.
Well, I was telling them. Well, no. But, I mean, I was telling them to say they don't know and then say, then ask them who their favorite is. And they'd say Josh Spiegel. I mean, it's an easy joke. But it'll be funny in the video. but it is amazing when we ride together. I don't know. I guess this is just a guy thing. But we get to some sort of gay reference almost immediately. Some sort of Tommy's going to blow somebody. I mean, almost all we're talking about is just having sex with each other in a funny way. I mean, is that normal? I mean, is there something wrong with us?
No, it's not. It's not. You're in a car full of guys and you guys are all talking about sex with one another?
No, but jokingly, like, geez, why don't you just blow Eric, Tommy? Something like that. We're not actually talking about having sex with each other. But every single reference, no matter where it starts, it ends up with that. We played Mary Fuck Kill with Chris Restivo's impressions. I mean, we were just going all over the place.
What were they? What's the Mary Fuck Kill with Chris Restivo impressions? Obviously, you have De Niro.
Yes.
Now, did you have inanimate objects like the tennis ball?
Well, somebody, I believe it was Jason Wicklin on Facebook, posted, no one picked this tennis ball. I said, touche, we should have. I believe we agreed that we were going to marry De Niro. We were going to kill Gilbert Gottfried and fuck...
Trump?
I think it was Tracy Morgan. No, maybe it was... maybe it was Trump, yeah.
Doesn't make any sense, by the way.
No, it doesn't make any sense. None of it makes sense. You're in a car and you're bored. This is what you do. But it was a good time, but it was, God, no, we were tired. I guess we're all getting older, but I don't know anyone that went out for New Year's Eve. Do you?
I did read that there was a show and it was headlined by Mickey Coachella, former personality on this network. And then also, I believe Kim Ambrose, who's in Die Laughing Productions, and Mike Quinlan, who did one Die Laughing production show. They were doing a show, and I know, I can't remember where it was, but I knew there was one package that was worth $100.
What was worth $100?
That's what they were charging.
Oh, whoa, Jesus. What would that have to include? That'd have to include a hotel room, or I'm not even interested.
I don't know. What better include more than that? A rub and tug, right?
Well, no, if you get a meal and all you can drink per couple, I mean, that wouldn't be bad if it's 100 per couple.
No, I think it's per person. I think it included a meal, you know. I think it included, I don't know. I just saw the $100 and thought, wow, that's pretty outrageous.
Have you ever spent, I mean, how many times in your life have you spent $100 on a meal?
Just see Mickey Coachella, zero.
No, but seriously, you can see Mickey for free. No, where was that at? What a horrible price.
You can look it up.
Why aren't we booking the murder mystery on New Year's Eve? What the hell's wrong
with
it? Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Mariah Carey. We delivered a bonus show too. Want to talk about that. And I guess we'll talk to you, Marcus. Hey, Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hey, it's Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show. You may remember me from my critically acclaimed role as Bucky in Death of a Dentist. Well, my next star turn will be in a show called The Newly Dead Game, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the minds of Rob and Joe. Imagine, you're in a TV studio at a taping of the very popular game show Clash of Couples. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. It's going to be incredible, and there's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
Next performance, February 11th at Bright Box Theater in Winchester. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
So, Mariah Carey, all over the news, social media, her New Year's Eve, the Ryan Seacrest, the Dick Clark one, still named after him. She had some, I don't know, what would you describe her New Year's Eve performance? Just a shit show?
Well, I mean, it had happened before to, what's that girl's name? There's a sister of a Jessica Simpson's sister.
Ashley Simpson?
Yeah, where they played the wrong song. I believe that's what happened here. But what's funny, what's it called? You know, what's the name of the song? Emotion, I believe, is the name of the song.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if she thought she was doing a different song, but, you know, there's a part that's really hard to sing where it goes really, really high. And they obviously had pumped that in, right? And so while she's just blowing it because she thought it was a different song, you hear that little part of the song playing. It's hilarious. But, you know, do you think it marks the end of her career?
No, I don't think so. I mean, right now she's touring with Lionel Richie, which I thought she was too big of a name to open for anybody, but maybe not. Maybe now she's just glad she has that.
Yeah, well, I mean, she has a pretty big catalog, but she also has to be able to sing. I got to imagine that, you know, I haven't heard Lionel Richie, but I do know there's some demands of Mariah Carey's voice that probably aren't the same demands that are placed on the songs of Lionel Richie. Do you agree with that?
I do, and I think it was actually a bad night for that entire tour because I saw Lionel Richie do All Night Long, and he was live in Vegas, and they went to him, and he didn't sound that good, and he was dancing awkwardly, and I don't know, that tour didn't do themselves any favors because they both had bad nights. Lionel Richie not nearly as bad as Mariah Carey's, but it did make me just want to listen to the record version of Lenny Lionel Richie's song, not actually see him.
No, what do you mean? He blew it too? I didn't hear that.
Not that he blew it. He just didn't sound that great.
Oh, you know,
he was fine.
Right.
Yeah, there wasn't any technical issues. He just didn't. Look, I know he's not going to sound like he did when he was 25, but it made him seem older than, it made him seem old. And I.
Well, he is old, right?
Well, he is old, but I mean, it's like, you know, trick me. Have me go first before I realize that.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, what do you want to see? Like, there are people that I want to see. You know, we plan on going to see Tom Petty. Tom Petty's got to be, you know, getting near 60, right? If he's not already 60. I want to see Bob Seger. He's definitely in his 60s. And there's people that I want to see because I just saw The Who on their 50th, you know, anniversary tour or whatever. You know, just because it's an honor to see these guys. I don't necessarily need them to kill it musically, you know, just to have a chance to see some of these people. Now, you know, Lionel Richie is one of those performers, in my opinion, especially, you know, if you use stuff with the Commodores, Sail On,
no,
Three Times a Lady,
Oh
No, Still.
Yeah,
I would love to see him. If he was okay, I would be okay with that. Now, if he pulled a Mariah Carey and they're pumping in 80s Lionel Richie, yeah, that would bother me.
Well, why don't you find it online and see what you think? You probably won't do it.
No.
But I did get mad because I thought I had a great Mariah Carey tweet. Now, whenever I tweet, if it's not too many characters, I put it on Facebook and on Twitter. And I always, you know, Facebook's a lot easier to get likes and shares. But Twitter, I almost get no love. And I thought this was really funny. I said, Mariah, maybe it's time to expand that Christmas list. Which, maybe, I mean, you're not laughing, so I guess you didn't get it either.
Is it from one of her songs?
Yeah, her most famous song, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Oh, I see. Okay, yes. I couldn't put it together. I got you. Because people didn't, if I didn't get it, you know, I would imagine most people are like, oh, yeah, if it's explained to them, it's pretty clever.
Okay. What is it that clever? Marcus, did you get it when I said it?
Oh, it was hilarious.
No, I'm just asking, did you get it?
No, I didn't. I thought you were making a serious comment, not a joking comment. Because I know that she's got one great Christmas song. And
I see.
So I didn't
you
get
thought
it.
He was saying, and yeah, that's probably what people thought she needed to write more Christmas songs.
Well, no, because it's funny because I thought long and hard how to word it. I really felt confident in the end that I worded it correctly. I think I did word it correctly in terms of how to write a joke, but I guess it didn't. I don't know. I just thought on the heels of us hearing All I Want for Christmas Is You 1,000 times, people would know that I meant maybe she should want more than that for Christmas. Like,
I get the joke.
To be able to sing again. So now I'm getting pissed. You don't even get it. Okay.
Right. It works once explained. But yeah, I mean, you obviously that's the issue. The reason it didn't get more love is because people, they probably just glanced over it and didn't take the time to go, huh, I wonder what he means by that.
I'm too smart for Twitter.
God. Yeah, that's it. That's always been your problem.
It's always been my problem. So 2017, you're not a resolution guy, are you, Joe?
Yeah, I did make a resolution. I don't know if you noticed, but I feel like I need to get off social media for a little while, take a break. And so I'm off Facebook for a little while. You're going to not see me until a little bit into the year. That's right. No social media for me.
Because Matt Bergson, our listener of the year, put a nice post up about how 2 years ago he was going through a rough time, and his wife pointed out to him that she heard that he won some award on our show, listener of the year. And he said everything's been better ever since. And he tried to tag you to thank you. And then I tried to tag you. And then he said, maybe Joe's blocked me. And I said, Joe doesn't know how to block people.
True.
So what, you're just off Facebook?
Yeah. I mean, I don't give stuff up for Lent because that's really a Catholic thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm on it's a time sink. And here's the thing. I was thinking, I don't promote anything on there. All my shows are promoted on the Rob and Joe Show webpage and Die Laughing Productions. That's where I promote things. I don't even say when I'm going to be on 98 Rock. So, you know, what am I doing? So I'm taking a little bit of a break from Facebook, and I'll get back on it sometime, you know, Q2. That's my goal.
Okay. What is your reason for doing this? Because you should be promoting these things.
It's a time sink. I can do it on the Rob and Joe Show page. That's my goal.
No, but Joe, people listen to Joe Robinson on 98 Rock. They Facebook Joe Robinson.
And then what? So they can see me share a link where, you know, Chris Restivo does a tennis ball impersonation. Like, what do they need?
Okay, but you actually have a real reason to be on Facebook. You have an actual career.
Just a little break. Just a little break. That's all. Just seeing if I can see what it's like to not be a slave to Facebook. That's all.
Okay, Joe.
You know who else
doesn't
have a Facebook?
Who?
Justin Schlegel.
Okay. I'm sure they wish that he did.
I'm sure they do.
Okay, but he did it because he didn't want to deal with people saying our stupid shit. You know, Mickey's gone, fuck you. He didn't want to hear all that.
No, he didn't have it before that.
How about promoting this show?
Yeah, I can do that. You know, I can do that on the Rob and Joe Show page. And by the way, every time I'm on 98 Rock as well.
Okay, can you do it on the Rob and Joe Show page? Do you know how to do that?
No, but you guys do.
Okay, so you can't do it on the Rob and Joe Show.
No, but I'm sorry. Let me put it differently. It's done on the Rob and Joe Show page.
Okay, so it wouldn't help us for me to do it, the Rob and Joe Show page to do it, and the Joe Robinson page? That wouldn't be better?
I don't think it makes that much of a difference.
It absolutely does.
Well, our numbers go way down.
If our numbers go down because of my Facebook page.
Do you think the Michael Mara Show, do you think the Robus Bewack doesn't go on Facebook or Oscar Santana? I mean, they're all on there.
Yeah, it's true. Their footprint's a little bit bigger.
I get not spending as much time on it. That makes sense. But I mean, you actually have three things to promote. Actually, four if you count stand-up. Stand-up, radio, podcast, murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
99% of people have no reason to be on Facebook. You're the 1% that does, and you're getting off of it?
All right, you're making me reconsider. All right.
I get not spending as much time or not getting into discussions about politics or any issue. I get that. That makes perfect sense.
And you're taking some of the fun out of how liberating it is to not have been on it for a couple of days.
Yes, it's fun to not work as hard. Yes, but that's what you're doing. That's what you're saying.
Man, you sound like Robbie. Don't tell Robbie I got off. Don't let him know.
Well, now I have to convince Mac Bergson that you didn't block him. He's all upset.
No, you don't have to convince him. He'll hear the
show. You ruined his New Year's Day.
And he'll know. Hey, I do have a Gramps story, but I don't like it, but it inspires me to tell another story about Gramps that he probably doesn't even remember.
Maybe I'll just read it on Gramps' Facebook page because he still cares.
So, you know, Gramps, he grew up super poor and was bullied.
Right.
And one day he's telling me a story about when he beat the shit out of his bully, right? He's the hero in this story.
Nice.
But that harkens me back to a story when my brother was being bullied at the bus stop, okay? And my father's advice to him was to punch this guy in the face, okay? And of course, you know, my brother's a child. I think he was in middle school. Maybe he was in high school, but I don't think so. I think he was in middle school. I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. So you know, one day, I think Robbie got so upset he didn't get on the bus. So my father said, look, you need to punch this guy in the face. Next day, Robbie goes to the bus stop. Kid says something. Robbie punches him in the face. Now, the fight is on at this point. My father runs out to the bus stop. He doesn't break up the fight. He's like, come on, Robbie, you can do it. Come on. He's rooting him on.
Yeah.
Now, I believe, I don't remember exactly. Robbie might remember, but I don't think my dad was going to let Robbie get beat up. So if the kid did get the upper hand, I'm sure it would have been broken up at that point. But if I remember correctly, they were wrestling around and the kid's mother came out and broke up the fight. And my dad is sitting there or standing there rooting on Robbie on this fight. And the other kid's mom had to come out and break the fight up.
And then he hit on that mom, probably.
I mean, that's just what he does, but I don't believe so.
Why do you not like that story? I love that story.
No, that's not the story my dad told. That's the story I told. That's my memory.
Okay.
The thing I remember is this kid, he wasn't a great kid, but after that, what always happens is then they became friends. So I remember that kid came over to spend the night after that. And I remember him being gross. That's the one thing I remember. Like, we don't have to do this. All right. We don't have to. I get that there's resolution now, but he doesn't have to be a buddy with this guy.
So was Robbie actually winning the fight, or was it just, it was a draw?
I don't know the answer to that. I was watching it from outside the window, but this is it's not a 40-year-old story, but it's near there. And it's probably like a 35-year-old story, maybe 35 or more plus story. So I was watching from the window, and my dad went out, and I didn't need to go. I was like, good, my dad's going to go break it up. Nope, just stood there. Come on, you can do it. It was not like a prize fight, you know what I mean? You can break it up.
That's the story that you see in the movies, but this really happened to you.
Oh, no, it happened. That's exactly what happened. That's how my father thought bullies should be dealt with, and that's what, yeah, no, he, and that was his encouragement. Now, you couldn't get away with that nowadays.
What would happen? The other parents, they would say something, you're encouraging fighting. But, I mean, yeah. We still have bullies.
Not really. The nerds are the bullies now because bullying is done online. Because if you bully in school, it's not the same. Because, you know, again, Bill Burr does this joke about nerds ruling the world, which is true. You bully somebody, they'll kick you out of school. There's a zero tolerance now for bullying. I mean, I'm going to say, hey, nice shoes. Boom, you're in the principal's office. You're out of the school.
Yeah, but it's worse now with the cyber stuff. I mean, it seems more, a little more sinister and more evil and more, I don't know, more like you can't get away from it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, there was definitely, you know, I mean, the bullying was so bad, you know, that's what they say. Columbine was, what the impetus for Columbine was, these kids were just terrorized. And eventually they said, all right, enough. And they came in and they started killing everybody.
Yeah, that's not good. Is that why you're off Facebook? Are you being bullied online, Joe?
I'm being bullied by Chris Restivo and Dan Ninen. Speaking of Dan Ninen, are we going to talk about him?
I don't know. We did have someone reach out to us about a Dan Ninen online article that we are quoted in. We'll see what happens.
So, well, no, but we haven't talked about Dan, have we, in Forbes? That happened after our show. That hasn't been addressed yet, correct?
No, it didn't. I thought we talked about it.
No, sir. Marcus, are you aware of what we're referring to?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it really creeped me out because it came up as a sponsored link on Facebook.
So Dan Ninen, somehow, I don't know how he does it. So he is right that he has an entree or a know-how to get into. I mean, I'm not talking about magazines. I'm talking about major publications. There was an article in Cosmo that where he misrepresented himself. There's an article in Forbes. You know what I mean? These are the biggest names in printing, right? In magazine print, right? Yeah, I mean, I guess if he was in Time, that's in Newsweek. Those are the only things bigger. But he's got himself in the Wall Street Journal, a million different things. But I guess this was the straw that broke the camel's back, because everybody came out and said, no, this guy's full of crap. The article was in Forbes, and the article was Millennial Millionaire makes it in stand-up, something to that effect. Do you remember the name of the article, Rob?
No, but the key is millennial. That's the key.
Yeah, he represented himself as a millennial. What's funny is that there was a lady who wrote the article. I wish I could remember her name. I sent her about 50 tweets, so I'll pull it up while we're talking.
So did everyone else.
Yeah, but she did a 42-minute interview with him. 42 minutes.
That's 3 hours and nine in time.
Winnie Sun is the name of the author of this article. And she took it down, but she was just destroyed by the public. Matter of fact, you know who else got involved? Patton Oswalt sent out a tweet.
He said, here's some other millennials you can interview. And I think it was like George Burns and somebody
Bob
else.
Bob Hope, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, just Google him. You know how easy it is to do research on someone? I mean, I get it. You're a reporter 30 years ago. It's hard. But now you just Google that person. It's just everything comes right up.
And I understand, like, it's like, you're like, well, what would somebody lie about? This guy said his name is John Smith, but it's really John Thompson. Like, you know, I mean, so you, it doesn't probably occur to you to fact check somebody's age. However, she sat down with this guy and did there's a 41-minute interview with Dan. I'm not kidding. Not anymore, because they took it down. But
part of the point is, if your age is part of the point that's being made here, then yeah.
Yeah, that's the one thing you need to check. Yeah. It's the only thing you need to check. Well, and that he's a millionaire.
This is what I don't understand. His age, his real age, 55 or whatever, is actually good for him. It helps his career. Because being 30-something, that's not young. That's just 30-something. There's no story there. 22 is a story. 55 is now a story. You watch The Voice or American Idol, it's the 19-year-old, the 16-year-old, then the 50-year-old. Because that's the story. The person
The guy who's 32, is nobody cares about that person. No. You're 100% right. Correct.
There's no angle there. So he should be embracing his age. He looks good for his age. He should be embracing that he's still out there at a young man's game, quote unquote. And instead, he's running away from it. It doesn't make any sense.
No. No, I will say we read some of the Dan Ninen book, which you bought me. And this book, it's 75 pages long. We talked about this before. You know, you're thinking, well, that's like 3-4 pages a chapter, but it's not, because the title of the chapter is an entire page. So, you know, if the chapter's titled Getting Booked, that's one page. And then there's also, I mean, a ton, like I say, here's a list of some of my favorite comics. I'm not kidding. And that'll be a page. It's like Bill Burr, Dave Chappelle. And that's an entire
Rob Mayer's cooking book. Here's a list of my favorite ingredients. Potatoes.
He also has links on there, so you can't even click them. You only have to put in there, you know, HTTP, you know. It's so great.
Mac Bergson, he just shit on me constantly over my gifts.
Yeah, about your gifts.
Yeah, I think he's actually upset. I think he's upset at me. It's going to affect the winter rankings of where we are, I feel. Although you being off Facebook is going to help me. Have you used your car magnet for your cell phone?
No, it's in my car. I unpacked it and I realized I actually have to adhere the magnet to the back of the phone. I have to do that. I haven't done that yet.
You just put it
in. By the way, is that going to have an effect on?
No. Put it in between your case and the phone. That's what
that's a good idea. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. All right, done.
It's easy.
But are you supposed to put magnets near electronics? You're not supposed to do that, right?
Marcus?
Oh, it's a perfectly reasonable idea. Why not? Sure.
No, I'm being serious. Aren't you not supposed to do that? Isn't that supposed to hurt the product?
It depends on the strength of the magnet. If the magnet was strong enough, it would cause a problem. But I believe that I am familiar with the product you're talking about, and it's strong enough to hold the phone. Not necessarily strong enough to wipe your phone.
Okay, good. Thanks.
It would go into the worst gift of all time. Yes. Well, I enjoy.
Yeah, that thing wipes out my phone, and you paid $4 for it. Yeah, that will be the worst gift ever.
Yeah, Max was putting links up to showing how inexpensive it was. Look, it wasn't that expensive.
Did you pay $4 for it?
I bought two for like $9. So yeah, basically
$4.50. Yeah. Plus delivery. Yeah.
Well, it was on Prime. It was probably free.
Say this. The idea is that what's funny is for the show, me getting Robbie a great gift isn't funny for the show. It's a good gift.
Boring. Yeah.
No, you're right about that. You did a good job in terms of what would be funny. And also, you gave me something that I would use. I'm really not being, I felt kind of embarrassed that all I did was try to get a nice gift, because I wanted to have the best gift, which I did, by the way.
Yeah, you did. Robbie did get me a really nice bottle of vodka and this shaker thing. It's cool.
Hey, and Katie got Tawanda.
Katie got
great
Tawanda. Yeah. Really cool. The coordinates of our house on this nice piece of wood. It's very, very attractive. It goes with our.
Is it up? Is it up yet?
It is. We're debating where to put it. So it's not up yet. But when it is, there'll be a picture. Trust me. Although, do I want to put a picture of it up? I don't want to ever know where we live, right?
Yeah, be able to find the exact spot of the house.
I don't even know how to do that. I don't even know how that would work. Hey, well, we didn't talk about Princess Leia. She died right after the show.
Debbie Reynolds died a couple days later.
Yeah.
You think that if I died...
Speaking of jokes that people didn't get, I try this out in the car. I said, oh, breaking news, folks. Carrie Fisher's grandmother just died. And Tommy's like, really? That's sad. I said, Jesus! I mean, are these jokes too smart? The woman's 60. Her grandmother is dead long ago.
So, do you think that if I died, that Gramps would die of a broken heart?
No, he likes Robbie more than you.
Because that's what happened with Debbie Reynolds, right? She stroked out 2 days later.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you're 84 and your child dies. I mean, you're 84. You're probably hanging on, you know, by a thread anyway. So,
and remember, her last words were, "I want to be with Carrie."
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's really sad.
So, do you know? You know, of course, I did my a radio show with Todd Theodoro. His name on the air was Theo, yeah. And I love him, but he is posting on Facebook how irate he is that people have such sympathy for Debbie Reynolds. You know, no, I've never heard anybody that's a Debbie Reynolds fan. Why would you just sad that somebody died? Do you have to pick and choose how well you know somebody before you're allowed to be sympathetic for their death? Do you have to be a huge Debbie Reynolds fan? I didn't understand. I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. It's just like when you get pulled over by a cop and you're like, don't you have anything better to do? Well, the laws are laws. You don't just enforce right. murder and everything else yeah. is okay.
Yeah, I saw that actually, and that bothered me too. But I didn't say anything.
Well, it bothered me that people were in such support, like, yeah, fuck Debbie Reynolds or whatever the hell they were saying. I'm like, geez, I mean, I wasn't acting like she was my favorite actress, but I mean, I had a little bit of sympathy. Plus, the story, I mean, it tugs at the heartstrings. I didn't even know the part Marcus told me where she's, you know, screaming out her name as she's dying. That part, that's sad.
You don't have to be the biggest Debbie Reynolds fan to. For that to be a sad story. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Speaking of jokes that nobody got, I posted in that thread. I said, I like her. I loved her rap.
Is that Little Debbie? What is that?
Reynolds rap. I don't know. Reynolds I thought rap. It was funny. Nobody, same thing. No likes. Zero likes.
Good start to the year for us. Maybe we should just get off Facebook and
four
comedy.
Jokes that don't work. That's why I got off, because of the Reynolds rap joke.
Right. But you do see a lot of the same things on Facebook. When a celebrity dies, you have people that try to make the jokes. Then you have the people that, like, say, well, I didn't hear anybody talking about David Bowie. Now suddenly everyone's a big Bowie fan.
Yeah, I heard that. You know who said that surprised me is somebody whose opinion I really respect, Chris White. Chris White, local comedian, or was a local comedian. I think he works at the DC Improv now and is the husband of the person that books our murder mystery, but he said that about never hearing anybody say anything about Bowie. And I'm like, really? I thought Bowie was one of the most influential artists of our generation. I that's shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah. It's just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, sometimes somebody dies and you didn't realize how it was going to affect you. You know, maybe you hadn't thought about that person in a while.
Or sometimes you don't know how important they were, like the Glenn Frey thing. When you saw the history of the Eagles, you go, wow, this guy really was important. Right. Sometimes you just don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. We all grieve in our own way, Joe.
Some of us on Facebook, not me, because I'm not on there.
But it has gotten to the point where there's been so many jokes about 2016, celebrities dying, what happened in 17, it's a horrible year. I get that not being wanting to be on it. You know, it's probably better for your sanity than it is. It probably hurts your is worse on your sanity than it helps you in terms of promoting your career and your life and your work. But I guess I'll just, all you're doing is retweet anything I say or just
share. Yeah, I don't know. There's no original thought coming from me on that. There's
none. No original thought. we did the bonus show. It's if you're a patron of us, patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Little is $5 a month. And the good thing is you don't have to, you know, give subscribe for a year or anything. You just, you sign up one time. If you don't like it, you cancel. Simple as that. But our first show is out, and I think that it's going to organically turn into something really awesome.
Yeah, we had some stories that we told that we just can't tell on, you know, this isn't one of those things where we're trying to bullshit you to that bonus show. Go to the bonus show and listen for yourself. If it ends up that you think this was insincere, then unsubscribe. But there are certainly some things that we can't talk about on the regular show that we do talk about on this bonus show. And I have an update. We'll have to do it on the bonus show. But I'm sure you remember going onto Facebook looking for someone. Well, that person was found and you happen to be correct. So we're going to discuss that on the bonus show.
Yes. So look, we want to tease it and we want you to give us money. But it's going to be worth it. A lot of love from the people that listened. Appreciate that. And it was fun to do. I liked it. I liked where it went. I liked how it felt. And it did feel like you were getting something that if you listen for a while and you're more on the inside, that you're going to enjoy it and you're going to appreciate it. And it did seem it's worth it. You got to check it out. Again, Patreon, patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap this baby up. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Hello, my name is Rob Robinson, but you all know me as Gramps. If it weren't for me, there would be no Rob and Joe Show. If it weren't for my DNA, you'd be listening to the Rob and Ramin Show. Or worse, if I decided to stop at one offspring, you'd probably be listening to the Dan Ninen Show. So I'm speaking to you as someone who has provided you with top-notch entertainment for over half a decade. Become a Rob and Joe Show patron on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. Do it now so you don't miss out on the premium content and some other great stuff. I did it. So should you. Now back to the Rob and Joe Show.
One of the things that we did mention on the bonus show is that, you know, you had mentioned a while back that Katie was going to leave you if you didn't get a physical. And I guess we never really responded.
Well, I mean, yeah, no, I have to do that. I still haven't done that. I have to do that. That's part of the demands of 2017, which will be met 100%. And I'll give the results of that on the bonus show.
Well, what do you, so you're going to have your blood pressure.
Yeah.
I mean, what else will they tell you?
I got to do a prostate exam, right?
I haven't had one of those done. Have you ever had that done?
Yeah. I did have it done. And I think here's the thing. The guy went in, and this was, of course, when I turned 40, and he shoved his finger in my butt, and I go, man, I'm lucky I'm not gay. Now, he didn't laugh, and I was wondering do you think it's because he thought that it was inappropriate, or do you think he's heard it 100 times?
I think he's heard it 100 times. I think it's probably a situation where the guy's trying to just, the patient is just to say something to make it less awkward,
right,
which probably always makes it more awkward.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's a situation where you don't say anything.
Well, you know, when I got my vasectomy, I remember, they give you a local. You don't, you know, you're not out. And I remember, I go, hey, can I look? And the guy goes, yeah. And I go, has anybody ever looked before? He goes, no. And I looked, and it looked like a tennis ball with like a white rubber band being pulled out of it. And it was horrifying. Right. So I knew why nobody had ever looked. And I'm warning anyone else out there to not do that. But I think I was the first and last person to look at their own vasectomy.
Well, how often are you supposed to have the prostate thing done?
Every 5 years, Marcus. What is it?
I believe it's every 10 years, depending on family history.
Oh, is that right? Oh. All right. So I got some 10. Then I still got 2 more years.
Wow. You don't want to get it done early?
Well, I think I will. If I'm going to get my physical, I might as well have them go check that out, too.
How many guys get that done early?
Yeah, I'm requesting an early prostate.
I just want to be sure. Let's
like,
just
you know, Mr. Robinson,
check.
You don't need this for 2 more years. Nope. I want to just.
I think
go ahead
I know
it.
My prostate. Well, I guess I should have that done. I'm also, I can't see anymore, and my memory's going. But I told this to my doctor, and he said, no, your memory's fine. I said, okay, well, I don't think
How does he
is.
Know? How does he know your memory's fine?
I don't know. He says, well, do you have trouble remembering, you know, jokes on stage? I go, no, I have no trouble with that. But I almost feel like that's like a muscle memory thing. But I will forget, like, people's names and what happened in a game. And, I mean, you know, even
yeah,
like Redskins games, I'm already forgetting what happened 3 weeks ago.
Well, I think it's a matter of what not caring.
That's
because, like, the guys who run the board for the post-game show, their names are Steve and Drew, and I can never remember their names when I see them. I can never remember it. And I think that's because it's not important for me to remember. If it's important, you'll remember. It isn't important for you to remember what happened in the Redskins game 3 weeks ago because you don't know that you're ever going to have to recall that.
But I used to be able to just break down the entire game.
Do you remember who you picked in the Bachelor Fantasy League?
Oh, that is tonight, folks. I'm going to send out one more thing. Get in on it. I remember their faces and who and a little bit about them. Do you want to talk about that?
I think it was a nursing assistant I picked winning it all.
It's fun because you pick your four finalists and whoever gets the final rose. And there's 10 questions, like multiple choice questions per episode. You did
and that happens
well.
Every week. We have to answer those questions. Do we get to change the people that we picked, the four that we picked for the finals? Do we get to change that at any point?
Don't think so.
Man, there's a lot of pressure then to, before we've seen anything.
Did you make your picks, Marcus?
No, not yet.
All right.
Do
you have
show air in 17 minutes?
Oh, yeah. You better get on it. Do you have a non-white person in your final four?
Me? No.
I do.
Yeah, well, that's because you're bent that way. I like brunettes. So
okay. There's a lot of non-whites on the show, which makes me.
I got
think
it. I'm just saying.
I
didn't pick what I think he would pick. I picked what I like. I don't know this guy. All I can do is go with who I thought was the best. No blondes made it either. Not a single blonde. I saw Katie's pick. She had a blonde.
I have a blonde. Well, I also watched with Tawanda the preview show last night.
Wow, really? Did you make your picks before the preview show or after?
After. Why would I?
God, you're
cheating.
Robbie.
It's the thing they aired.
Pulled a Robbie is what you did.
I didn't pull a Robbie. I watched what they aired. This girl, Corinne, goes into his room and says, I want to have sex with you. I'm like, well, I'm picking her. She's a go-get.
I don't know if I have Corinne, but I wish I could switch.
Yeah, you can. And then I have Jasmine. She's a black girl. She's
you think Robbie saw that episode?
Yes, of course he saw that.
Yeah, he did.
I picked the dancer for the Golden State Warriors. Look, I like my picks.
I need
I'm going to actually watch it, though. You're not going to watch it.
No.
Robbie's a huge favorite, right? I mean, this is his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, even without the cheating, I do think he's a huge favorite. I believe Scott Apple finished dead last in our last Bachelor pool. Is that correct?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I got a PlayStation. I haven't had a game system. To be honest, I haven't actually had my own game system probably since like Sega or something. I mean, maybe even longer. Now, when I lived with Todd, he had a PlayStation. I think it was a 2 at the time we would play. But I'm not really a gamer. But maybe this is part of me just losing my patience. But I just, when I put the game in, I just want to play it. I don't want to have some online character. I don't want to have an avatar.
You don't want to read instructions of any kind. You don't want to set anything up. You don't want to give it a name. Right, I got you.
God, they have this video. Like, I played FIFA. There's this opening video, and I watched this kid try to make a shot. I just want to play the game. Same thing with Madden. There's this, the Rams are here, and watch the Rams play. No, I have no interest in playing online. The whole point of video games to me is to not have to deal with another person. That's the enjoyment of it.
Is there any way to skip that?
I haven't figured out. I'm hitting buttons. By the time I'm ready to play the game, I'm just angry. And I'm just regretting that I own this. You know the game I played the most?
Tell.
Galaga.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Yeah. Whenever I go to an arcade, I'm like, Ms. Pac-Man, Frogger, let's go.
Yeah. I downloaded a game from 1982.
Are you good at it?
I have the high score right now. Tawana's good at it, too. We're having a nice little back and forth. Here we are. You know, not playing these $50 games. We're playing the friggin' game that used to play for a quarter.
Do you call it Galaga or Galaga?
I call it Galaga. I don't know how are you supposed to say it?
A lot of people say Galaga. Marcus, resident nerd. What is the real name?
Galaga.
Okay, sorry, Marcus. Right.
What was your go-to game back in the day?
I was a Donkey Kong guy. I could actually go up to all the way to the where they had the elevators, beat that level. I could get to the where they had the conveyor belt level. A lot of people don't even know that level.
I never really played Donkey Kong.
Pretty good, pretty good. I couldn't get past the elevator level the third time. That's where I couldn't do it.
I like Centipede.
I didn't like the ball. Any game with a ball, I didn't like. I couldn't control it. I did like, once the remote started to get a little more sophisticated, I just wasn't as good. When there was a stick and a button, I could dominate. Pitfall? Come on.
A stick and a button. That's all Joe Robinson needs, a stick and a button. Marcus, any New Year's resolutions for you?
Drink more. Screw more.
See, here you go again. All I want is an honest answer, and you do this. Marcus, you don't have to try to be funny. What's your real answer? I know it's not to drink more.
You know, this year I said it to somebody. I said, look, I think this year I just need to focus to make sure that each and every day I do something that is pleasurable. And that way I don't get caught up in so much of the downer of what 2016 was for me.
Because of Trump. Is Trump the reason you have to give yourself a new lease on life?
No, 2016 sucked for so many reasons, and it wasn't just Trump. I had two friends of mine diagnosed with cancer and had to go through treatment this last year.
Ugh. You know, good end of the show. Keep going.
Let's not even count all the celebrities and some of those who hit home and those who don't, but still, it's like every other day. The world is in more fear than ever with terror. I mean, there's a lot of things about 2016 I just didn't care for. And so 2017, I would like to be filled with as much pleasure as possible. I just want to make sure that this year I'm paying closer attention to the good things and trying to bring more good things into my life and trying to enjoy the days more. I think 2016 was such a drudge.
No, you're right. It was. And there's clearly there was a lot of sadness. Are you? Classic Marcus, by the way, he either gives that the funny answer or this guy, he gets real serious. There's nothing in between.
Right.
But are you going to do something on the inauguration to combat Trump? Are you going to not watch it? Are you going to go watch your favorite movie to take your mind off it? Are you going to drink and screw? Do you have a strategy?
I think I don't have a choice but to watch his speech at minimum. I need to at least see what he's going to say. I'm going to follow him regardless.
What are the chances you like it, that you like his speech?
Oh, slim to nil.
You know, it's like a 1%. Agreed?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not a great speaker, and Obama is a good speaker. I know you don't think he's that good of a speaker, Joe, but he's...
Well, he's think that...
He's a better talker.
Yeah. I always feel like if you're a good speaker if you sound the same way you do when you're talking to someone. That always feels like a good speaker because it rings sincere. Since it's subjective, there are no right and wrong. So,
well, that's the show, folks. You know what? This wasn't a good show. I don't think it was a good show. Maybe we're missing Robbie. It's the first show of the year. They're all going to go up after this.
Yeah. But the bonus show is where you want to go. So listen to the bonus show. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. It's so much better than this show. Not that this show won't be amazing again next week, but hey, we're getting our 2017 legs. Happy New Year, everybody. Have a wonderful start to your year. And I think we can all learn from Marcus Serta. Have sex and then drink.
Yeah.
That's living right, folks. See you next week.
See ya. Thank you.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.